Hi everyone, this is Wisdom the Healer coming to you live and direct. Happy New Year's, happy holiday, happy everything. I know it's been a little while, but you know what, this holiday is going on right now, COVID going on right now, politics going on right now. Sometimes you don't got time to be going in and doing new episodes, but I'm just being real with it. You know, when I come in, I always come with a bang. So I definitely got somebody here that has influenced a lot of people. He goes by the name of Ambition. Ambition, the poet, was a foster child who lost his hope, lost his family, and most of all, lost his self-love. It wasn't until the pressure of bullying and anger pushed him to speak his truth through storytelling and rapping. Anger became the source of his wordplay, but now he uses his gift through poetry to help heal the hearts of listeners. And you know how important it is as a poet or as a motivational speaker that has a strong story that can influence people. So I definitely had to have him in the show. Hey, Ambition.
Hey, what's up? What's up? What's up? It's good to finally get on here and talk to you. You know, you're an amazing soul doing amazing things. So when you reached out and said, yo, have me on, I was excited. I'm ready to talk to you and your listeners. Let's do this.
Amen. It's a pleasure having you on my platform, especially when I read your bio. I was like, ooh, I need him here. I want you to tell the audience where you're from.
Well, I come from North Philadelphia, a small portion of it called Nicetown. However, I was raised, I was there about to the age of 8 through 10, and then I was raised in South Jersey, a small town called Sicklerville, New Jersey. And so being a foster kid, you bounce from home to home. This last ride with me was literally from North Philly to South Jersey. So literally going from poverty to middle class overnight, it felt like. And so that's kind of where I reside. I'm from Jersey. But, you know, I lost it all in Philly. Family's in Philly. My church is in Philly. Most of my friends in Philly. So it's one of those mixture things. But if somebody was to ask me, yeah, where are you from? It's Sicklerville, New Jersey, a little small town. That's it. So, yeah.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. I know how that goes. When you know, when you get to, when you from one state and then you go to the next one and then you create a different life there. So I definitely know how that is right there. I'm very interested on what inspired you, you know, to be who you are today.
Really, like I was telling you, that bio talks about the anger and all that, the anger and the bullying. It really just pushed me to start writing about how I felt. There was so much that was going on in my life at that time as a kid. I felt like I was lost. I was done. And my foster mom came to see me. But now I'm being bullied in a middle-class suburb because I still look like poverty. I don't, you know, I still don't believe in, you know, myself. And I'm not from that area. You know what I mean? I just so happened to be blessed to be put there. And so it's hard to try to fit in with people that you come from the city and you don't really come from the burbs, right? And so now I gotta try to change the way, I guess the way I speak, the way I look, and I can't. And so from there, I just started writing down my anger, how I felt. And as I got into high school years, I started really rapping. But it was bad because the raps was against people, you know, people who couldn't rap back. I mean, if somebody talked something, if anybody said anything about me, I was gonna make a rap about you. a teacher, whoever, the principal, I almost got expelled because my writing was literally unleashed on people. It wasn't the traditional trying to make a rap song. It was only directed towards people who I thought, you know, had something to say or did me wrong. And so that's kind of where I started, why my inspiration came, and I knew I had something to say. And in my house, you couldn't fight. My mom was big on that. And if you fought in our house, you would get kicked out. And me being a foster kid from North Philly was the last home I remember. There was no way I was going back. So I was like, oh, I can't fight. And she said, you got to use your words. You gotta write down what you feel. So that's kind of how I kind of got pushed into writing. And as I got older, yeah, it finally turned into poetry.
Wow, that's beautiful. She said, turn that into writing. Don't fight. Turn it into writing. Like, she helped you express yourself.
Yeah. But it turned out, she did. She kept me from being violent. But, you know, like you said, verbally, I became, you know, abusive with my mouth towards people. But, you know, like you said, somehow, some way, you know, your anger and your expression is going to come out. And so if somebody's physically fighting a lot, that's them expressing, you know, what's going on in the thigh, you know?
So tell me about this. Like, so now that you got into, all right, at that point you had gotten to writing and you had gotten to expressing and you pretty much gotten to the point of feeling good by roasting and doing, talking your shit on the paper, right? So my thing is like, how old were you when this journey started as far as, writing?
Yeah, that's like 10, 11. Started writing, so you're talking about like that middle school, a little bit earlier in middle school, and then it really turned into something during high school. So I ended up battling people, whoever, like I was just trying to get on, and they would call me like the newspaper. So if something happened in school, somebody would tell me what happened, like if somebody got beat up or somebody got in a fight, I would rap it the next morning at homeroom or at the lunch table. So,
oh, wow.
So it was really interesting.
What's that rapper? They, oh, I can't get it.
Rap,
he always do it at the end of the year, wrap up 2000
something.
Uncle Murda. Yes,
yeah.
He was like Uncle Murda.
Yeah, I was Uncle Murda. Like, that's exactly how it went. Like, I would literally do that. Like, and so, but yeah, you know, and that was kind of how that all went down. It was really because of the school. The school, it was like, I couldn't do anything else. As far as proof, I didn't have the hottest clothes, you know, and I didn't have the athletic ability. I could play basketball, but yeah, like it just wasn't working. So I'm like, yo, and I had a gift. And when I started rapping, it got me the attention that I wanted, you know, because I was like, you know, kind of on the dark side of the school. And, you know, when I came to high school, it made me very popular. And South Jersey, it was a struggle because if you couldn't fight or you didn't play sports or you didn't look extra good, you wasn't popular in our schools. So South Jersey, the only way you can get your buzz up is through the three. So to me, I was the first person that really came to high school and used art to get popular, and that really changed the way I thought about myself and the confidence of myself. Like, yo, I don't have to do what everybody else is doing. I could do what I do and still, you know, feel good about myself and be popular in my own right because I have a gift, you know.
I definitely feel you on that one. Shit, you kind of took me back to high school because I would try to get on the basketball team. That ain't work for me. I was a little chubby as I was growing up, so the funny thing about it, I grew up in Brownsville, and you know, Brownsville, as you know, is not really a beautiful neighborhood. But I actually learned, I actually went to track my high school year for that. I could learn how to run. So, because of the area I lived at, it was gunshots every day. You know what I'm saying? And when I tell you that I did track and field my first 2 years of high school, I literally was running from people from Brownsville. I'm sorry. That's just how it is.
That's how it was going down. Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and then friends of mine, because like, if you will hear this saying, anybody that's in Brownsville that's listening, they always say, never ran, never will. That's the saying with Brownsville. And me, I'm like, I don't know about y'all.
Yeah, yeah, I'm gonna live. I ain't not.
You feel me? I'm gonna run.
Right. Oh. It makes sense to run. I live another day. But not today. You're not getting me.
You feel me? So you know, I'm telling you, like it's just that you kind of brought that memory back to me when you talked about high school and sports. That's too funny. So I know that as you was going through this journey and actually doing these things, what were one of the biggest challenges you faced as a writer?
I think still to this day, and when I coach other poets, it's really like how to be a journalist to your own life. You know what I mean? So what do I want to say? How do I want to say it? You know what I mean? Because my life, you know, foster care, some of the things that happened to me were very disturbing, very graphic. So I have to be careful as a writer to share my life but not disturb the audience. You know, the audience is still in my mind. So when you writing, I'm like, yo, do I want to say exactly how it was, or do I want to describe it a certain way? And does that even work in the flow? So I want to say X, Y, Z, but that doesn't sound right when I try to rap it at this time. And as I got older, it's the same thing. I want to say X, Y, Z, but does it go into the rhythm of this poem? And so you just have to consistently tell the story, but as it relates to flu, and does it make sense to, you know, how graphic do you want to go? And so you just have to have that balance. But that was the only thing I think that was a struggle for me. Now, back then, I didn't do a good job with staying focused. So my first portion of the rap would be about my life, and then I would drift off to talking about a girl or something, right?
So, oh, wow.
Like, I didn't have that, you know, that focus. You know, as I write poetry now, understanding we're talking about one thing here, and we're going to do that from top to bottom, right? And so that was one of the struggles. My brain was definitely way all over the place back then as a writer. As to now, when I write, I have a system, you know, certain TVs off. I do it in the same place. It's like a ritual in a way, about a regimen on how we write. And it's consistent, and I practice every day. So I have way more discipline as it relates to writing now.
Wow, I like that right there. Now, I'm curious, though, because, like, you mentioned something as far as, like, being graphic, as far as being the experiences that you did go through, and even the feeling that you felt when you went through it. Have you ever actually wrote down, or is it in one of your books, the full, like, just details of... Because, you know, there's people that experience the same thing as being a foster child. I actually have a friend, shout out to Quana. She grew up in a foster home, and RIP to her best friend. Her best friend committed suicide in there. And, you know, it's so hard and to digest, you know, what kids go through being in a foster home. So I can only imagine you not trying to really get back to, you know, those images. But do you have any of those graphic details on your book?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I call myself the first United States foster care poet, is because I wanted to brand myself as that, and making sure that I'm going to give you that journalistic view of what happened to me and what's happening to others. So yeah, I have three books. It's From the Tongue of a Foster Child, 1, 2, and 3. And scattered throughout all three books is the stories and the views of it. One of the things about not only writing for myself through my pain, but then also writing about the anger that I felt. And on YouTube, I have this episode I call Protisodes. It's a summing of them called Revenge of the Foster Kid. And if y'all go and listen to that, you'll see literally the anger of I felt. That's from true feelings about me, the murder, the drug dealer that sold drugs to my mom, and how I felt about drug dealers for a very long time, and being angry that somebody was to blame for me being in foster care. And so I go through those stories and feelings as well, because there is two sides. There's a sad side of, you know, I wish this didn't happen to me. And then as a black man, there's a very angry boy inside of me growing up as a teenager and starting to get a little bit more volatile. And what do I do about what has happened to me? Somebody has to pay this invoice, is what I always say. Who's going to pay for this invoice? Because yeah, I'm in South Jersey, but my mom, our relationship is still not where it needs to be. My family is destroyed. We're still not together. And so I'm angry as a teenager. Someone has to pay. And so I got poems that talked about that. And I do have a book coming out where we get more into, you know, what it felt like to be adopted, you know, and being in the courtroom. So, you know, there's different views and experiences that I talk about throughout my books.
Wow. And what is the name of what was the name of that you said on YouTube to go ahead and search?
Revenge of the Foster Child.
Revenge of the Foster Child by Ambition, yep. The Poet.
Yep. When you go on there, you'll see it. No one else has that title. If you go on there, you'll see it, and then start from one to seven. And one starts off with me actually, you know, hurting someone, actually killing them. And then it goes to the second episode being on a run, and then getting to fourth, fifth episodes talking to God about what happened and how sorry I am, but I'm so angry. And then at the end, I do, you know, you have to listen to the end of what happens.
Yeah, you can't get the whole thing.
Yeah, but, you know, I talk to God, and it's a struggle, you know, and I'm grateful that I was raised by my mom, who was really instrumental with introducing me to Christianity, because the stuff that I write in those episodes, that could have really happened in real life. That could have happened to somebody. I could have done that. And so I could literally be in jail right now because of my anger that started to become uncontrollable. And I know there's some young men incarcerated right now from New York, Jersey, Philly, all over the globe that was foster children who didn't understand how to channel that anger. They're in jail right now, you know what I mean? And they did some things because of where they came from and didn't know how to express that, you know? So, yeah.
Wow. And another thing I wanted to say, how can people find your book? Where is it selling at?
They can definitely reach out to me. But if not, if you feel more comfortable, go to Amazon. It's right on Amazon. All three books are there. And so, but if you want to come to me, that's fine too. So I can sign it and, you know, tell you that I'm grateful for you buying my book.
Yeah, it's so crazy because I like that you mentioned the people, the men, or even I know there's probably women out there as well that are incarcerated that went through those experiences. And I was talking to someone yesterday because I love Clubhouse now. I just love it. And I spoke to someone yesterday, right? And she's from Chicago, and she was telling me about, you know, all these gun violences and how these kids are growing up without parents because they're getting killed by guns, you know, and she was pretty much just explaining the behavior of what she see, and it's almost similar to what you said, and it's just like, wow, you know, I'm grateful that I do have a lot of kids that do listen to this podcast, so, you know, be grateful that you're living, be grateful that you're breathing, and be grateful that you can think. Because if you can't do none of that, then you'll be lost. And that's the one thing I'm going to say about that. Do you feel like when you was growing up, do you feel like you had like, or even doing this journey as far as writing your books, as far as being known, do you feel like you had enough emotional support or support in general when as manifesting your business?
Oh, I'm gonna say this. I don't want to throw family under the bus and all that, so I gotta be careful here. But I will say this: for those that want to be an artist, you know, or poet, rapper, you're gonna be doing a lot of this by yourself. You know, because it's your dream. No one else can be as passionate and consistent with you about your dream. And so, I learned early that this is my walk, it's not theirs. So, you know, people are supportive in their own ways, you know. Hey, how's that book going? they may come through, but I just want to give the warning. If anybody think there's going to be a bunch of people holding your hand through the journey, that's just not how it goes. A lot of this is by yourself. A lot of poetry venues by myself. A lot of open mics by myself. New York, I went to D.C. by myself. I went to Atlanta by myself. Wow. I went after it and performed and did foster care poems in the middle of a venues that had no idea what I was talking about. Wow. And so when you have a purpose behind you and you know something's on your, a calling on your life, you have no choice but to do the calling. And so I learned to rely on myself, pray to God,
amen,
and make sure that there's going to be, and not strangers, they're going to be guardians and angels. When I got to Atlanta, I met people there. When I got to New York, I met people there. So you never know. There's people waiting for you that's not your family at your destination spots. And that's very instrumental. I wish somebody would taught me that instead of me learning that. But you learn that as you go, the people are waiting for you. You just got to go to where they're at, and they'll be there waiting for you, even though they don't even know it themselves that, oh, hey, I met this guy from Jersey, and I'm in New York. I don't know why, but, yeah, that's because it was the divine, right? It's divinity, like, literally. Yeah. You come off the plane, and you're like, oh, you a poet? Yeah, you here for the open mic, and you talking to a random stranger. And that's because you were supposed to go to New York by yourself, but you won't be by yourself when you get to New York. Just open your mouth, be humble, and be courteous when you're in a new area. You'll be fine. So, yeah.
All right. I definitely agree with what you're saying. I'm not trying to throw family in the bus myself, but I think it's more mostly when it comes, because I always tell people this, like, because you get, you know, you see people get upset when they actually doing something, and then they like throw their friends or family under the bus when it comes to their, you know, their brand. And that's understandable, because sometimes when you grow up with a certain type of people, you would expect them to support you and expect them to believe in you. So I don't know if it's like a psychological thing. But I do 100% agree with you as far as, you know, when you meet strangers and they don't even know you like that, you know, and they get to know the vibe and the energy, is so much love and so much support, just like how we met each other. So
right. Off of Clubhouse. Did that. And I think the room, if I'm not mistaken, the room wasn't that big. It was just like six of us. It wasn't that big when I got there.
Yeah, it wasn't. It really wasn't at all.
Yeah, I didn't go after a super popping room. And so, you know, I got there, we connected, and we was on the app, you know, I came on by myself, didn't know who was who, came in, hey, y'all, what's going on?
Yep, yep.
I opened my mouth about what I do, you said what you do, and this is how it works. Mm-hmm. God put us in position to help each other out, and now I'm going to talk to you about some other things outside of this. And so that's the thing. The journey is not, I think we get confused about who is supposed to be on the journey. Mm-hmm. And the journey is in front of you, not behind you. Mm-hmm. Family is family. They do family stuff.
Yeah.
But they're not your business partners. They're not your marketing person. And mm-hmm. so we got to realize that. And I realized that. And I'm like, you know what? I ain't going to throw nobody under the bus no more.
You gave a little hint hand there and shit, like, ain't nothing wrong with that though, because, like, you know, don't get me wrong, a lot of people that are listening can relate. Trust me when I say it, they could relate. You know what I'm saying? So you're not even saying nothing that they don't know about. They probably like, yes, ambition, yes, you are so right. Like, so trust me when I say it. We definitely know how that goes, but you definitely gave us some awesome advice. Definitely take it, everyone. You know, anything, you have people that you can reach out to, you have motivational speakers that you can reach out to, you have poets, you have authors that are amazing, or even a type of brand, or even get into Clubhouse if y'all really want to network. You know what I'm saying? So that's
you really, gotta get on it. Yeah,
you gotta get on it. You know what I'm saying? You can't depend you can't depend on what's next to you no more. Sometimes you gotta expand, you know. So I gotta hit you with something, Ambition. You know you're not leaving this podcast without throwing a poem. So I hope you got something ready for us.
Yeah, I got something. I got a little something for you. Yeah.
All right. Drum roll, please. Let's go.
Oh, you want me to do it right now?
Yeah,
oh.
Right now.
Oh,
okay. I see I caught you with a spot. That's what I do.
That's what you do. All right, I'm gonna do my poem. Finally adopted. It's gonna be in my book. I'm hoping February, but we'll see. Because so many projects I got going on, but I'm hoping February. The latest will be March.
All right.
I had to be 14 when I became an official member of my family. It happened downtown Philly. Even the pigeons in Philly are being nice The Red Robins is starting to trip on the Ben Franklin Bridge. My smile that's finally got a steroid, it felt like it started to crack my cheer leagues. Yo, it took me years to have somebody say that they love me. But these adoption papers would be the pedals of my concrete rules. My life was like a ransacked coffin. If the human race is a bunch of soot, then this foster kid is the Homo sapiens finding this lost mineral. Thank you for letting your angels shove stacks of happiness into my dormitory. How could this foster kid go from saying, thank you, Jesus? Do y'all know I used to harbor self-hate? That was the wiring to my gargled explosions. You see, God had my family curse start to sew the flag of independence to my temple. I hate myself was a rusted label that dangled from my forehead skin. My leftover hurt was crammed in Tupperwares. You'd be surprised on how many depressing sandwiches I had to eat. But this day, I'm finally adopted. I knew that God would sanctify gloves would sanitize my dogma. I never knew love had thrusters in the spirit of my foster mother would hover over my heart for eternity. And for those that don't understand, listen, being adopted feels like a championship when you hold the trophy, but your teammates are kayaking in champagne. Honestly, y'all, I saw myself as a toddler corpse with motionless Chuck Tellers. But this day, I'm feeling like I'm slobbering in the clouds, daydreaming in a courtroom, reciting Biggie's lyrics while in the backseat of a Jay-Z's Maybach. My name change is my crown covered in cookies and cream because I love briars. When I was a kid, nobody wanted me. But my new mom said, love myself for being alive and tell the devil that he is a liar. Tell the world that being adopted is the heaven choir singing Marvin Sapp, I believe. While the angels are lighting candles, bobbing their head to Kirk Franklin, the way I stomp on the devil's fingers. Yo, thank you, God, for letting me escape my childhood demons, who thought the best way to kill this future foster care poet was through attempted murder. Only I couldn't keep these memories captive in a locket. So my ministry is for the foster kids. So I thought I'd share the day that I got adopted.
Ooh, I got goosebumps. Oh, Lord. I really got goosebumps. Are you going to come out with a movie? Because, like, I really seen a visual. I seen exactly what you said. It was clear. It was vivid. It was strong. It was so strong. Oh my goodness.
Thank you. Yep. Yeah, we working on the short film thing right now. I got the everything is already written down for what I wanted to come out like. Now it's the funding and getting the right videographer to bring it to life, you know. But yeah, I'm working on that too. And so that's going to be actually part of it. Is, you know, trying to explain to people in the scene that I got in my mind of what it's truly like you said, to walk you through it because you don't really know. So I'm trying to walk you through it slowly, you know, about like getting your last name changed and, you know,
and the process. And
just like as somebody to say that they love you, you know what I mean? It's all that's dope. So yeah.
Yeah, nobody knows the process of that. And I have a few experiences as far as, like, for example, last year. I'm going to cut the long story short. An aunt of mine passed away, and she was taking care of her granddaughter, and I pretty much took over for a few months. So with her, my little niece, she was going through immigration as coming from Honduras, coming to the United States, and her mom, it was just hard for her mom to actually keep her, you know. So I helped her, and as I was helping her, you know, I realized a few challenges that she was going through because she didn't know how to read or write, and she was 9 years old. So I ended up getting like a tutor, varsity tutors. I don't know if you heard of varsity tutors. So I ended up getting varsity tutors for her for that she could learn how to, because she didn't know how to speak English as well. So we got into the basic English, and she started learning until her mother was actually ready to get her back. Her mother lived in Houston, Texas, and I went ahead and drove her back to her mom, you know. So I kind of had it. I felt like I even without documents, you know, I felt like I had an experience of adopting a child and, you know, and being able to go ahead and, you know, give her back to her original mom. And now she's, you know, she's doing better. And she's going to school, and I'm grateful that I was part of her life, part of her growth. So, you know, that's, wow. I want to cry, y'all. I'm not emotional right now. This is crazy. All right, for all y'all that don't know, I'm a Cancer, I'm a water sign, so you know I'm going to cry. But anyways, I'm going to save a tear. I do want people to know where they can find you at, your Instagram, pretty much everything you ran down, as far as also your series on YouTube, and any other social media where they can find you at.
Absolutely, yeah. It says Ambition the Poet. If you Google me, you'll find everything. Ambition the Poet, Harper on Facebook, Ambition the Poet on Instagram, Ambition the Poet, all spelled out correctly, on Twitter as well. And then on YouTube, I'm Ambition Harper. But like you said, if you go on there and you put Revenge of the Foster Child, you'll see the poems that relate to it in the episodes. Go ahead and listen to that story. You're going to be like, I can't even believe all this is being said through poetry. Like, you're going to love it. And definitely give me some feedback, because I want to do a part two, but I want the people to talk to me about what they felt, what direction they think we should go in. So I'm going to take my time. I'm not even going to rush a part two. I just want people to tell me how they feel about it, and we can go from there. But it's so much more to these stories. And they're all over, you know. So yeah,
that's what's up. That's what I'm talking about right here. It's always a pleasure, a pleasure meeting you. And also, I definitely want to continue working with you as I'm in the journey of writing my first book. Definitely, we going to
connect. Definitely, we going to definitely make sure that happens. I'm on you on that one. Holding you accountable.
I've been was supposed to write this book, man. I'm trying to tell you, but look, I'm finally at the urge of actually writing it, and I'm writing, you know, stuff every day, you know, because it can be overwhelming if you're sitting down and like, oh my God, I gotta write 20 pages right now. Like, no, I don't want to kill myself. So
yeah, like you said, write towards a goal.
Mm-hmm.
Go and get it. You write towards a goal. You need at least 20 to 25 poems for that first book. But yeah, if you do that, and like you said, you write. Give yourself an hour. Keep yourself disciplined. Don't overwhelm yourself, but do something every day towards it, at least 5 days a week. You'll be good.
Thank you. I appreciate that. See, that's that positive energy.
Yeah, and listen, I tell people all the time, I don't got time. I'm like, well, look, if you want to leave hundreds and thousands on the table, look, I'll write the book for you, put it in your name, and then take the money.
Right.
When I tell you y'all missing out on money,
I already know. And right
too
now
much money.
With quarantine and all this stuff going on, people reading. People want to read. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Want to read.
They're hearing more podcasts. They're hearing more people's stories. Like, they actually do have the time to sit down and actually, you know, digest what they're hearing and what they're going through. So I know that it's gonna be a bang, and I definitely would love to support you. I definitely want to get a book, because I definitely want to know how it is. I want to know your experience. I want to know how that system is. You know what I'm saying? You never know. I might do a wisdom to heal a, I don't know, foster child building out, man. I don't know. You might inspire me to do something when I get older, you know, at a country or another state. You know what I'm saying? And
absolutely.
I love children. And there's a lot of teenagers that do listen to my podcast. So I know you have inspired a lot of youth right now. And it's like I said, it's always a pleasure.
Absolutely. Oh, as far as the children go, I do have a children's clothing line as well called Ambicito by Harper. That's a black anime children's clothing line. That means your kids will have amazing characters on their backs. So if you got a daughter, if you got a son, go ahead and go on Ambicito by Harper and check out the different clothing. We got book bags, shirts, hoodies, and masks. If your kid wear my stuff to school, they're going to shut it down. Every kid that wear my stuff, they go to school, and, you know, the kids love what they have on. So, to me for that. Well, yeah.
Oh, I definitely got to check that out, because it's so funny. My daughter, she's 10 years old, and she's actually teaching herself how to do anime. So she would love to see that.
Yeah.
What's the page for that, for the clothing apparel?
Absolutely. And when we get a chance, I'll send you over a few blinks. So if she wants the color, or she wants to just see how they look without the color already on them, if she wants the color, I definitely get that for free. So we could definitely send you over just a couple of the characters just so she could see what it looks like and how to draw a chibi. Yep, so I got you.
That is amazing. Thank you so much. Can you tell the audience where to find that again?
That's going to be at Ambacito by Harper. That's AmbiCito mm-hmm. by Harper. And as you know, in Spanish, Ito is small. And Ambi is me, you know, ambition. So it's a small ambition. Understand letting kids know that they have ambition as well. And the characters, they all have stories. So, yep. You'll see that as well on the website and on the YouTube channel.
That's beautiful. I know I got some homework to do tonight. Oh, man. Y'all already know. Y'all heard Ambition speak. Y'all heard where to find his clothes, his books, his series on YouTube. Like, you have all the information. And if you having trouble trying to find this man, all you got to do is Google him. That's all you got to do. So, y'all make sure y'all look it out. Y'all already know I'm going to have a new episode coming up pretty soon as well. I can't stop teasing y'all audience. I got to continue with you guys. But you know, people got life to live. Just being honest. But you know how that goes, bro. You know how that goes. So
if there's other artists that's out there that want to reach out to you to be to get interviewed, is there? How do they reach out to you?
So, I have everything on my bio. They can go ahead and DM me on Instagram. I do have a business email and I have a business number as well. So that's how they can reach out to me if they want to come to the platform.
Absolutely. I'm going to have a lot of people probably reach out to you that's going to want to sit down with you after they hear this. So I already know I'm going to send them your way. And definitely a lot of people that are going to want to sponsor you as well. So I hope that they can collab with you and, you know, pay for their flat so they can get their business, you know, shout out. They have to pay for that. That's a fee.
Oh, man. I'm getting there soon. I'm getting there. Trust me. But yeah, absolutely. I really do.
Ambacito will definitely be a sponsor in the future. When all that's done, just let me know and so we can support you because, you know, guys, as artists, this is time she's putting in. We want to make sure that we also are funding you as far as sponsorships go. We want to support you as small business. And I want to be the first in line and say that I want to sign up for that. Y'all heard it live. So, yeah, hold me to it. When the sponsorship fee sheet come out, just let me know so we can make that happen and not be the sponsor. Absolutely.
That's what's up, man. Thank you, King. God bless you. God is with you all the time. You know, today is a new day to end in a different way, and tomorrow will be a new day to end in a different way as well. You know, you have a beautiful soul, you have a beautiful mind, and you will continue to be strong, and you will continue to have strength, and you will continue to lead those who couldn't move on, you know, or who feel that they can't move on due to the experiences that they, you know, going through or went through. And I, like I said, it's a pleasure to have you here because you have pretty much calmed people's mental by listening to this episode, you know, and I thank you for that.
Absolutely.
So y'all already know, as you already know, he put his social media out there already. This Wisdom the Healer coming to you live and direct. If y'all don't have me on Instagram, it's Wisdom the Healer with a Z because I got to be different, LLC. Also, I got my Twitter up, Wisdom the Healer, and my Facebook, Wisdom the Healer. Everything is Wisdom the Healer. YouTube is coming in a couple of months. Not now. Yeah, I ain't ready for the YouTube yet. But everything else, you go ahead and find me. You go ahead and find me, and like I tell everybody, one smile spreads everywhere. So y'all make sure you have a great day on purpose and keep that crown on. And if y'all feel like that crown tilted, put that crown right back in the center because you are a king and you are a queen.